Welcome back to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. What we just heard was Gretchen Parlato's How We Love. It's from her album, The Lost and Found. And we have an amazingly talented special guest here today, Lauren Desberg. Lauren, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And we just heard a tune from Gretchen because there is a special connection with Gretchen on your most recent EP called Sideways. They came out in September of 2012, so just a couple months ago, so it's relatively new. And Lauren Desberg is a lovely, lovely vocalist from the Los Angeles area and who is gracing us with her presence today. So we're going to talk to her about her EP as well as what she's doing now and all that good stuff. But before we talk about that, Lauren, how about you introduce yourself to the listeners who might not necessarily be familiar with you? What's your deal? Who are you?
Okay. Hi, Lauren Desberg. I'm from Los Angeles, and I recently graduated from Berklee College of Music. Now I'm living in New York, trying to make it in the big city. Jazz singer, trying to do something a little different with the music.
Great. So tell me a little bit about your background and how you got interested in performing and doing music in the first place.
Well, my mom is a singer, so when I was younger, I was like put in music lessons like most of us. And I played piano and cello growing up, and I took voice lessons and was in choir and all of that. And for high school, I went to an arts high school in L.A., the L.A. County High School for the Arts. And there, as a singer, you either do opera or jazz, and I was not an opera singer by any means. So I went to the vocal jazz program, and my first 2 years, I was just sort of like behind, like in the background, behind the scenes, whatever. And then in 11th grade, I wanted to start singing with the combos and big band. So I did that and I auditioned for some like high school conglomerate things. And I don't know, it seemed to work out. I, you know, got good results and stuck with it and ended up going to Berklee. And
cool. So you ended up going to Berklee and you just graduated recently. So what did you think about Berklee? How would you characterize your Berklee experience? And the reason I'm asking that is because lately we've been doing a lot of interviews with people that have graduated Berklee and are now living in New York. We had Jaleel Shaw and Walter mm-hmm. Smith. And so I'm going to ask you the same question. What did you get out of Berklee and what did you benefit from it?
Okay. Well, what I like most about Berklee and what I like really rep about it is that there's such a wide variety of music listened to by the students. And I don't think that any other school offers that. And I think solely that just having, like, so many students listening to so many different things really broadens your horizons. Like, going to other conservatories, everyone's pretty much listening to jazz or classical or, you know, maybe a few indie things that they think is really hip and, like, new or whatever. But there actually was a YouTube video out that was, like, 7 or 8 minutes long of someone. I really liked this idea of someone walking around with, like, a camera going up to people with headphones and just in the Berklee few blocks, asking them what they were listening to. And they're all different genres, all different songs, all different artists. Like, it was just so cool to see that. Like, there's so much music. And that I really liked that because I think if I had gone to another school, I would have been stuck in, like, a jazz bubble, for lack of better words.
Right. So with that said, how does that translate then to your EP that came out?
I've actually always, like, listened to Top 40, like, you know, I grew up in L.A., so you drive a lot, and when you're driving, you listen to the radio, you know, oftentimes. I guess you could listen to CDs, too, which I did, but the radio's on, and you can't ignore it there. And I was familiar with the music, and I really like pop music. Like, pop meaning, I guess, not classical or jazz, just popular music. And I really, like, want to incorporate that into my music, so on every song, I have background vocals, and that's not, like, so poppy, but it's more, like, most jazz people don't really have background vocals, and one of the tracks is, like, pre-produced by a friend of mine, my roommate, actually, Drew of the Drew, and I wanted to have one song that was, like, very produced to, like, I guess I like to say to be accessible to all people. And that's one track that someone that doesn't listen to jazz that wants to hear my music, I might play them that one because there are a few pop elements that they would be like, ooh, that's cool. And they can kind of relate, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of tough to jazz for the non-jazz listeners is not easy to have them like and understand, you know? So I guess listening to Top 40 and listening not just Top 40 but pop music, I like the sounds. And, like, I think it's important to know what the music of today is, even if you don't like it. You know, it's important to know what the sound of today is. And I personally want to try to incorporate that if I can, because I think more people will like it and listen.
Yeah. So we're going to check out the track that you're talking about in a couple minutes. But you know, you speak about all of this, the popular music of today. Who specifically are you listening to, not necessarily in the jazz bubble? You know, we don't usually get people like that on the show that are interested in other stuff, so this is great. So what are some of the specific artists that you really, you know, have drawn from over your musical life?
Well, lately, my musical obsession for the last 6 months has been Frank Ocean. I just can't stop listening. Like, since the record came out, I've probably listened to it, like, at least, like, 2-3 times a week. There's a singer named Kimbra. She's kind of more indie, but really cool. She's a lot of background vocals and, like, cool stuff happening. The more, like, top 40. I really like Bruno Mars. I think he's really, really great, a really great performer. And one thing that I think specifically in jazz that musicians lack often is relating to your audience. And I took a class at Berkeley, actually, one that I really loved with Livingston Taylor, James Taylor's brother, called Stage Performance Techniques. Take it if you can. Basically, the first day he says to the class, you're homeless, you have absolutely nothing and no one, and someone comes up to you and offers you a $5 gift card to iTunes or a $5 gift card to McDonald's, which do you choose? So, I mean, obviously you choose McDonald's, you know? And he says, you need food to live, you don't need music to live. And that's something everyone needs to understand before they walk out of this room today. The audience doesn't need you, you need them. And,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty deep, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I...
What a way to put it.
It's something I really try to preach to people, and I guess I shouldn't. No one likes preachers, like, walking down the street. But I just really think that, like, somehow in jazz, the music has become for the musicians, which is great. Like, everyone loves it, and I'm not knocking that. Like, it's a community, and people are very happy in it. But I would just really love to be able to... Yeah, accessible is the word. Make it a little more accessible to more people. And I don't know, like... I always say that if you were to see a jazz voice show 50 years ago, 60 years ago, it's essentially the same show of today. It's the same music, same musicians, same club, same attire, you know? And that's cool, and, like, I definitely paid tribute to that, and, like, I go see shows like that. But I just think that it needs some updating, you know, as do your iPhone apps. So,
so what would be your response to people that have issue with calling something like you're describing as jazz? Because there are a lot of very purist type of musicians and people in the jazz community that have an issue putting the genre jazz, like, attaching that to anything. Like, even when, of course, when Black Radio came out, a lot of controversy about is this jazz, this isn't jazz. I can tell you in my own house we have that discussion.
Yeah.
You know, what is your response to people that have issue with stuff like that?
I think there's many different types of jazz. There's many different types of rock, many different types of hip-hop, many different types of, you know, pop, whatever. But, I mean, from what I've just been saying to you, like, making music that is jazz in the sense that there is improvisation, it is, like, the standard, you know, musical setup or whatever, but it's something that people are willing to listen to today. And, like, there are people that listen to just hip-hop that will play Black Radio, and, like, maybe they don't understand that it's jazz, but it is, and, like... You know, these purists, as you call them, like, in a sense, I think those are the people that are kind of keeping the music from growing. And, you know, the ones that say it's dying, well, yeah, because you're not helping it live. And, like, music morphs, and it's great to keep the straight-ahead swingers, like, stay. No one is asking you to go. Like, that's very important music. But it is going to morph, and it's going to change, and hopefully it's going to reach more people, and that's what's going to keep it alive. And I don't know that it will ever become top 40 again as it was in the 50s, but I do think that there's a way to make it accessible, which Robert Glasper does, which Gretchen does, you know, which, like, these Irimage, like, does. And, like, it's happening, and it's cool. And I just hope that, like, more people can try to understand it.
Cool. All right, Lauren, well, let's take a listen to the track on the album that you were talking about, and it's called Come Running to Me. Yeah. Before we listen to it, what made you choose to take this song, which is a Herbie tune, and put it into this direction that you took it?
Okay, well, let's see. My first semester here, a friend of mine told me about the song, and, like, I loved it instantly. It's such a cool song. And I knew it would be, like, well-received. I knew, like, how cool it was, and no one does it. And now Kurt Elling has done it, which is cool. I haven't actually heard it, but, that's cool. Like, that's great that people, like, do the song. But actually, I originally wasn't going to put it on the EP. We recorded it, and I was just like, you know what? This is not going to feature me. Like, this is more about the band. Like, I'm not going to do this. And like 2 weeks before we put out the EP, my friend Drew and I, like, I had heard something he had done with another friend at Berkeley, and it was so good and cool. And he like makes these this awesome vocal production and layers, you know, voice, and it's really thick and cool and it has these awesome effects. And I was like, you know what? I have this. Like, I have the instrumental. I did scratch vocals, so it wasn't, like, anything great. But I was like, you know, I have this. Like, we should do something. And he heard it and was like, yeah, absolutely. So, like, the last week I was in Boston in August, we just, like, recorded in his apartment every day. Wow. And then did it in, like, a week. And then I put out the EP. So it happened really quickly. But I guess it was just hearing that. And he doesn't do jazz usually. So it wasn't that I heard him do, you know, obviously it's, like, quite produced. It's a pop, yeah, like, thing. It's awesome. He's great. He's amazing. But it worked really well together, I think. And, it, you know, people really dug it, so.
Well, let's check out Come Running to Me. This is from Lauren Desberg's most recent EP called Sideways. We'll be back with more from Lauren in just a little bit. You're listening to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. So the last tune that we're going to play of the segment in a little bit is one that features Gretchen Parlato.
Yes.
So how did you and Gretchen hook up to do this EP together? And she produced your EP,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's amazing and really, really, really cool. So how did that happen? Where did that connection come from and where did that form?
Okay, well, as I said earlier, I went to the LA County High School for the Arts, LOXA, in LA. And she actually went there herself. And she would come back to do master classes. She, I guess, got into jazz because of our vocal jazz teacher. So, you know, they love each other and she'd come back a lot. And in 10th grade was the first time she came with Leonel Loeke. And that was really cool. And she came back in 11th grade. I had never heard of her before then. And then she came back when I was in 11th grade. And I MySpace messaged her and asked her if I could have a lesson. And she said, yeah. So I can't remember if I, like, one or two that first trip, but it was really cool. And then, like, we would sit on her floor and learn songs to Ebersold. It was really fun. And I would do that every time she'd come to L.A. And at the time, I was going to New York some. So when I go to New York, I'd see her as well. And then I ended up going to Berkeley. So for my first year and a half, like, every other weekend, I was going to New York to see her. And it was really cool. Like, man, she's really awesome. And anyway, I originally had said I wanted to make a demo of some sort. Just speaking with her. She's my, you know, teacher, kind of. And, like, just with friends, like, a good quality recording. I'd done, like, silly recordings before. But I really wanted to do a good one just to have. And she was kind of my liaison through it, like, helping me, like, this and that and the other. And actually, I went home once to it. There used to be these jam sessions in L.A., and Walter Smith used to play. He was in the house band. And I remember he was also a teacher of mine at high school, which is funny. Yeah, he taught there for the last 2 years. So I was speaking with him about everything and telling him that I'm going to do this demo. I wanted him to play on it originally, and he ended up not being able to. But Dana Stevens could, who's, like, the best, so it was great. But Walter was like, you know, if Gretchen's helping you, like, why don't you have her produce it? It was really his idea. So I went back. I told Gretchen. Gretchen was like, wow, Walter, thanks. Like, yeah, okay. So it just worked out. And, you know, she got Taylor Ixey to play piano, who's also playing with her, and Dana Stevens, who's on her record as well. And then I had my friend Josh Crumbly, who plays with Terrence Blanchard now, goes to Juilliard. He was going to play on the whole thing, and, like, very last minute, Terrence ended up coming to do a master class at Juilliard that day, so he couldn't, like, miss school. So he had to go. So my friend Chris Smith, who's, like, also great, like, came in and played, and he's actually on the majority of the EP. And the drummer is Corey Fonville, great drummer. So it was a good band, and Gretchen, you know, was there and, like, helped us through everything, put her touch and spin on it. And when we did You Go to My Head, my friend Chris Bowers arranged that, and it's, like, a really great arrangement. And one day, when we were in the studio, I asked Gretchen if she'd want to sing on it, and she said, yeah. So we the second day of recording, we set up two mics and did it. And it was really fun. It was really amazing.
Well, I mean, that's not just a good band. I mean, that's like, that's a great band. That's a great, 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 great band.
I lucked out.
I mean, that's a great band. That is a wonderful band. Yeah. So have you performed with them since you did the record, or are you planning on it, or who are you maybe using now?
Sure. Like, you know, actually, so I finished school in August, and I moved back to LA because I love LA, so I thought that's what I wanted to do. And it was kind of hard because there's not that many musicians out there. It's sort of slim pickings. So I decided to move to New York, like about a month ago, just so I could have access to all the musicians there. So I'm actually still trying to figure out a band, like, full-time. I'm not sure. I mean, Chris Bowers, like, I use him in L.A. all the time, but he is a busy boy. So I don't know. You know, I just have to figure it out and potentially plan a tour. But as you know, a person's first tour kind of breaks even. And hopefully I could pay for airfare and hotels. But, you know, who's trying to not make money on a tour? So, you know, it's tough, but I will definitely keep you posted. It's a new move.
As you said, you just moved to New York about a month ago. So are you enjoying it? Are you liking it? Do you think you made the right decision coming from L.A.?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally do. I actually didn't think I liked New York that much, and I didn't want to go. But I guess I just needed a few months to, like, really see that New York is the place to be, and I love it. I don't think I'll be there for more than 5 years, but that's the Lauren of today's speak. Just because I really love LA. And I think that once you, hopefully 5 years, geez, like, can establish yourself, that it doesn't really matter where you live at that point. You know, if you're in demand, like, you can get anywhere from anywhere. But New York is awesome, and it's, like, a great place for me now. Great to be, like, with friends. I have a lot of friends that went to school there and a lot of, like, jazz people that I know, and that's really cool. Like, it's great. They're all there. I mean, it's really quite a hub.
Great. Well, Lauren, you spoke a little bit about what you're doing, what you're planning on doing with the future. Is there anything coming up concrete that we can hear you at? Are you playing anywhere in the near future?
I'm singing with some friends' bands in New York, but nothing really of my own quite yet. I will definitely keep you posted. I'm coming out with another track, a bonus track, that I did record with the same band. I just didn't put out, so I'm going to put that out probably within the next few weeks. And I also recorded a YouTube video with Chris Bowers, which I'm going to have. It's a cover of a Frank Ocean song. So both those will be out, and I'll let you know. But when I have a show, I'll definitely come through. And
for sure. All right, Lauren, well, thank you so much for coming by the studio. And we love your EP, and I know we'll definitely be putting in a rotation here. You'll be hearing it a lot. So we're going to finish up with You Go to My Head. This is Lauren Desberg with Gretchen Parlato. It's from her EP Sideways, and you can find it on iTunes, everywhere, Spotify, so definitely go and check that out if you have not already. Gretchen Parlato and Lauren Desberg, You Go to My Head. More music following on Reasons Eats 2 on WECB.